and have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. So live as children of light and have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. So we're going to focus in on that today. Now, most of us have hobbies or pastimes that we enjoy. I'm going to show you one of ours. Okay, this is my Scott. It's got wheels. This is my Scott Wheelie. And I've had it for a long time. Scott's back in the day in the 80s were like the bikes, which shows you how old I am. Anyway, one of our pastimes, Ruth and myself, is cycling. Ruth really loves cycling. As you know, I've had a couple of accidents cycling. So I don't love it quite as much as Rue at the moment. But anyway, 2 years ago, Rue came up to me and she said, oh, let's go cycling. Let's do the Rimutaka Rail Trail, which is about 15K. She planned it out. She's really good at planning holidays and stuff like that for me. She's great. She's awesome. I love her. And anyway, so we got on our bikes. We started the going up to the Rimutaka, and it's quite steep. And we got to the top. If you get to the top of it, it starts to plateau. And you think, oh, that's good. I'm over the worst of it. And we cycled along there for a while. We had our dog with us, Lola, who you might remember, but she's passed away now. But we had her later in the backpack because she got a bit tired. But anyway, we suddenly came across, and I should have remembered this because we had done this before, a tunnel, all right? If you've done it before, there's a big tunnel up there, and it's about 1.5K long. So we stopped, and I said to Rue, is she here? Okay. I said, did you bring it? And she goes, no. Did you bring it? I go, no. So this was forgotten. All right, it was a waste of time. We couldn't go back because we were too far away, and it would have been a waste of time. So we'll enter the tunnel with no lights. All right, so that was fine. It was fine. So we entered on the Scott and cycled away. Oh, it was pretty easy because you could still see behind you this light, and then the light disappeared. And someone has subsequently told me that the tunnel actually curves. We didn't know. I didn't know that. So the light disappears behind you, and then you are in total blackness, total darkness. And you're thinking, uh-oh, this is not fun. And there was a moment, I didn't tell Ruth this, but there's a moment of panic that rises up inside you and thinks, this is not a good idea. Because if you veer off from the middle of the tunnel, you're likely to clip the edge of the tunnel and fall. Or maybe hit a possum, which a dead possum, I would say, or something like that, or a rock. Anyway, so we're keeping as steady as possible. All we could hear was the dripping of water coming off the ceiling of the tunnel and the squelching of our tires through puddles and then gravel, and our breathing getting faster and faster as we continued. Anyway, so what happened is complete darkness, cycling along, and then suddenly something appeared. Who was that? No, there's no tracks there, Tom. Whew, we checked that out. And something appeared, but it was a speck in the distance. And the speck got bigger and bigger. And so we cycled steadily, didn't want to go too fast, in case we clipped. And then it got bigger and bigger. And then after about 10 minutes of doing this, it seemed like a long time, of doing this, we saw that the light at the end of the tunnel was getting greater. And then we could see actually where we were cycling. across what we were cycling, and then we burst forth into a brilliant day. It was beautiful. And there was quite a sense of relief. I didn't tell you this, darling. Did you? You probably felt the same emotions, yeah? Yeah, we do things like these sometimes. Anyway, as long as Rue and I, in that tunnel, kept our eyes on the light in the distance and aimed straight, we were okay. We managed our fear and anxiety of being in the pitch dark and not knowing what was around us or what we might hit. As long as we kept our eyes on that light in the distance and aimed straight, we managed our fears and our anxieties. To live as children of light, like Paul suggests, we need to keep our eyes focused on the light that guides and instructs us, particularly in these days of increasing darkness. Because each of us will find ourselves walking in darkness in times of our lives, whatever season we are in. To keep on going in the same direction and not be distracted by or succumb to the darkness, we need to remember those who have gone before us in our lives who have been amazing models of faith. This is my point today. To help us keep our eyes on the light, we need each other and those in our lives who have been special in faith to be reminded of how we live and how we cope with things that come before us. If you are lucky, you might have, well, you will. Each of you will have one person in your life where you go, yes, I know who that person is. Because God sends those people in your lives. Okay? He provides for us these people we can go, yes, I love what they did then and what they were like and what their character is. I love the way they walk in faith. I love the way they forgive those who give them a hard time. I love the way they forgive those who oppose them in certain situations. I love the way that they're soft-hearted and kind. Now, if you're very lucky, you might have two of those people in your life. Okay? Remember those saints. They might have passed away, but they are still there in your mind, in your spirit. So their influence lives on. Their influence lives on. So remember them in times of darkness. Now, it's interesting. Paul instructs the Corinthians, the Corinthian church, who were struggling with darkness. He said, copy me. Act like me. Now, we read Paul, and most of us think, oh, my goodness, that's Paul, isn't it? Yeah? He's so full of himself. He's so arrogant, is Paul. But there's a huge truth here. Paul says, copy me, but he qualifies that by saying, as I imitate Jesus Christ. As I imitate Jesus Christ. So he's not pointing to himself. He's pointing to the light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, he's become part of the light at the end of the tunnel. Just as those saints who I've asked you to remember have become part of the light at the end of the tunnel. For us to keep our eyes upon. We We have we had a lovely service the other day with several people being confirmed. And we had a lovely baptism of a couple of people 2 weeks ago. And we've got another baptism today. What we've arranged here at Cree Anglican, because we really value people growing in faith, into maturity in faith, is we have mentors for those people. So they've got people they've chosen who they go, actually, I want to spend time with that person. And usually it's someone older in the faith. So they can talk to them. If you're younger, you don't want to talk to your parents about stuff often, do you? Well, sometimes you do, but some people, they can't talk to their parents like they talk to other people. So they've got a mentor who they can meet with and pray with as often as they like, at least once a quarter. There must be an element of imitating your mentor that comes into that relationship. There should be, and I don't use that word often, should, but there should be some sort of imitation of that person who is mentoring that younger Christian in faith. That leads us to our last thing, which we will land on. Do we live our life, this is cutting out a bit, do we live our life worth imitating? We encourage everyone here to grow in faith and to take on some sort of form of leadership, because that is what God calls each of us to do in some way. We don't know what the leadership looks like, but we believe that each of us are called in faith through how we're made, through the gifts we are given, to lead in the church in a certain way. Because everyone is different and we need one another like the body of Christ. So each of us should ask that question, do we live a life worth imitating? I should be asking that question of myself. Ian, do you live a life worth imitating? Not all the time. Not all the time. But I try. And that is what matters, is that you try. Now I'm going to leave you with, because we're going to have the kids coming up in a moment, or the young people coming up, and they're going to be making holy gingerbread personages. But we've got a selection of verses they can pick and cut out and put in their bag and take home. So they're making someone holy. This is someone's taken the nibble already, because it's very hard to resist. This is a ginger person, and they're going to decorate them, and maybe they have someone in mind who they think, oh, I just really admire that person. They're a saint in my life. I want to copy them. And then they'll choose a verse that goes on the bag, and they'll take it home, and they'll eat that person. Can I get Kate to come up? And if you'd like to join with Kate, Emma's made these. Can you give Emma a clap? These are... these are beautiful. If you'd like to come and do some decorating as we go into the next part of our service, then you're most, most welcome. So come on up. Kate's got these amazing little bags and things that you can do to decorate your little ginger person. And then you've got a little bag to take it home in with a verse. So, and if the parents like to come up with them as well, that's lovely. Can I invite the band to come up, please? Are they still there? Oh, they are. Thank you.